Welcome to another episode of the Cook, Eat, Nourish podcast with me, Fiona Staunton of Fiona's Food for Life. I make cooking good food uncomplicated through cookery demos in real time in the workplace. So today's episode is one that will be just myself, and it's about what is the best breakfast for menopause. This is a question I am often asked. As we probably know, breakfast is one of the most important meals of the day, and some of the guidelines would be to try and eat with the circadian rhythm so that we would eat more of our meals, the more calories, etc., in the daytime hours. So having a really good breakfast can be very important, but there's lots of variety and there's lots of different options. So I'd like to share with you some of that information today, and some of the foods that may help alleviate those symptoms of menopause. To give you a little bit of my background, I experienced induced menopause in 2020, which meant that overnight all estrogen was stopped, my ovaries were shut down, and I also take medication to block the production of those hormones of the estrogen, progesterone, testosterone within the body. So therefore, HRT is definitely not an option. And I look at food and lifestyle as being the best support to me to alleviate the symptoms that I had. The main ones for me were fatigue and joint pain, brain fog, anxiety. They were the main things for me. Now, as I'm recording this, almost 3 years on, I can say that I suffer very few of those symptoms at the moment. But if I don't have my diet in check, if I am doing the right lifestyle factors in terms of sleep, exercise, meditation, taking time out, eating phytoestrogen-rich foods and foods with omega-3, I will start to feel it. A lot of the times for me personally, the joint pain would be the first thing to show up if I weren't eating the right foods. Everybody's menopause is different. Everyone's experience is different. So just to confirm as well, menopause is a natural biological process that occurs in women as they age, typically between 45 and 55. So the woman's body undergoes significant hormone changes, which can lead to a range of physical and emotional symptoms. The average age of menopause is 51, and menopause is actually only one day. Beyond that, you're postmenopausal. So the menopause is the anniversary of 1 year of no period. So it's actually only one day. So the question is, what is the best breakfast for menopause? There is no single best breakfast for menopause, but there are some foods that may be particularly helpful in mitigating the symptoms that are associated with this stage of life. So one of the key considerations is maintaining a healthy weight. And so many people who have done my menopause cooking course have found that the weight gain is one of the hardest things to do. Personally, it is the same for me. While I'm eating very similar amounts, similar levels of activity, I'm still gaining the weight, particularly around the middle. One of the things that I've learned is that those fat cells around the middle will help produce estrogen, which would naturally be dropping off in people's bodies. And the reason I have discovered that is because that is why I take this daily medication to stop, for example, those fat cells around your midriff producing the estrogen. It can be very difficult to lose weight, maintain a healthy weight. So, and excess weight can exacerbate the symptoms like the hot flashes and the night sweats. So a healthy, balanced breakfast could really help set the tone for the day. And from a personal point of view, for me, it's really been just watching my portion size and I would tend to try and eat the vegetables and the high fiber foods first of all, and then I would go on to the protein and then on to the more carbohydrate source. So I tend to eat a little less then. I also don't drink water while I'm actually eating, but I will drink it throughout the day, but not right before or right after I eat, which is a habit I certainly had to change. But that was from my own personal journey. So the first thing I'm going to look at is whole grains. Whole grains are an excellent choice. They provide fiber and complex carbohydrates, and they can help regulate the sugar levels and promote digestive health. So a bowl of a whole grain cereal, like an oatmeal with milk, is a great way to start your day. And I think oatmeal, in particular, is a good source of phytoestrogens. And phytoestrogens are naturally occurring plant compounds that mimic the effects of estrogen in the body. So the evidence is mixed as to how effective they can be, but some women can find them really helpful, and I know personally I find the phytoestrogens really, really helpful. So what type of recipe could we have here? There's a number of different recipes. My personal preference is probably what I call my store cupboard muesli. So once a fortnight, I will take a large bag of organic jumbo oats. Into that, I will put in lots of chopped nuts and seeds, some cinnamon to give it a kind of almost like a, I suppose it needs less sweetness if you have the cinnamon in it. And I will often put a blend of ground flax seeds and whole flax seeds. So the whole flax seeds will help keep you regular. The ground flax seeds will release the nutrients like the phytoestrogens. So what I tend to do is I mix up that muesli. And the reason I call it the store cupboard muesli is it can be a great way of using up the ends of packets of nuts and seeds. So say, for example, you've been doing some baking and you have, you know, half a cup of ground almonds left. Well, pop those into your muesli. Imagine you were making something and you had a couple of tablespoons of sliced almonds or nibbed almonds or pumpkin seeds or sunflower seeds or chia seeds, whatever it might be, you can just add all of those in and mix them through your muesli. My question is always, how can you add more nutrients to what you have? So if you add these extra ingredients in, that means that in your small bowl of your whole grains, you are going to be adding more nutrients. I will then tend to serve that with milk kefir. So milk kefir is a fermented milk product. So it's using these little grains of bacteria and yeast, and it ferments the milk and it creates probiotic, which is really good for your gut health. So there's a video on my YouTube channel for that and the recipe on my website. And if you need those grains and you're based in Ireland, I can give them to you. That isn't a problem. And then I will often top that with a bit of a chia berry compote. That is one of the easiest ways to nourish myself with the nutrients I need at this stage. So berries are full of antioxidants and really nice and flavorsome and colorful. You're always trying to eat a rainbow and get as many different fruit and veg in as you can. So what I tend to do is I get a bag of frozen, good quality berries. I will vary it. I don't tend to mix them, but one week might be raspberry, the next week might be strawberry, the next blackberry, etc. I will heat them on a medium heat until they've all melted down and they come down into almost like a mush. Then for each cup of the berries, I'm going to add in a tablespoon of the chia seeds. The chia seeds are a good source of omega-3. They are going to soak up the liquid and thicken the fruit to like a compote consistency. So what I do is I will stir in the chia seeds and I will leave it to sit. So what happens is it'll soak up all the liquid from the berries, just naturally from the frozen berries, and it'll bring it to a nice compote consistency. And then I would add a tiny bit of honey or the chicory root syrup, which is high in fiber, or a little bit of maple syrup, something just to give it a little bit of sweetness. And then I pop that in the fridge and that is there for the whole week. If I'm having a snack of a Greek yogurt, I will add that in. If I am looking for something extra to add into my smoothie, I will add it in. Or where we were there about the muesli with the milk kefir, I will add in my tablespoon of the compote. So I'm getting some berries and some chia seeds and adding some nutrients. So that would be probably my most popular breakfast, but it's always nice to mix things up. So overnight oats is another oat-based or whole grain-based dish that you can make. They are very versatile. They can be made in advance. For example, on a Sunday, you could make 3 or 4 days up, no problem, and have them in a jar just ready to go. Doesn't always have to be breakfast either, which is really good. So for every cup of oats, you have 1.5 cups of liquid. Now that liquid can depend on you, your preferences, your situation, etc. I would usually do 1 cup of milk kefir and 1/2 cup of yogurt. But it could be a nut milk. It could be just water. You could put in a little bit of fruit juice if you wanted. You could do more of the yogurt. It's whatever you like. So it's 1 cup of the whole grain oats and 1.5 cups of liquid. That's the base. From there, you can do what you like. So I make a lovely carrot cake one where I have grated carrot. I put in some raisins, some cinnamon, and a little bit of a honey or a maple syrup or a chicory root syrup. Stir it all together and it is beautiful. It tastes quite like a carrot cake. So I will put that into a jar and you might put a dollop of Greek yogurt on top, or you just might leave it as it is. Sometimes I will make up a smoothie with the milk kefir or whatever milk or liquid you're planning to use, perhaps with some berries, some banana, etc. I would mix it into a smoothie and then put it into the oats so that you have everything already blended up and mixed together. Other times I might layer up some berries. When you come into the summer season, you've got beautiful berries. I might put, you know, blueberries on the bottom, then some of the oats, then slices of strawberries, then the oats again, and then maybe raspberries on top. So there's a number of different options, but the overnight oats can be really handy. Another breakfast, when you have this, now this is just the whole grain breakfast we're talking about. If you have a little bit more time, perhaps at the weekend, banana and blueberry pancakes are a winner. I have yet to meet anyone who doesn't enjoy the banana and blueberry pancakes. So to make those, the recipes on my website, fionasfoodforlife.ie, I will blend up some oats in a high-speed blender. Pop them in a bowl, and then I will mix up some banana and some milk. So I will tend to use a dairy milk. I will use organic whole milk, but you could use a nut milk, a soy milk, whatever you like. Mix the banana together with the liquid, and then I will stir it into the oats, and I'll often add a little bit of baking powder just to give them a bit of a rise. Now these pancakes are your American style thick pancakes rather than your French style crepe. So what I'll do is I will get a little bit of oil on a pan. I will put about 2 tablespoons of the mixture on. And then once it's beginning to cook on a medium heat, and once you see bubbles starting to appear through onto the top side, I will then pop 3 or 4 blueberries and push them into the mixture and flip it over. So ideally per person, they would have maybe 3 or 4 of these little thickish pancakes, but they would have the blueberries in the middle. And one of the most amazing things I serve them with is caramelized bananas, and they are just beautiful. So I get a little bit of butter, slice up the bananas and caramelize them, and the butter and the sugar and the bananas, they go all golden and they are really, really delicious. And then you could top it with Greek yogurt or a bit of granola or some berries, or, you know, there's a number of different options then that you can do. But that's a really nice maybe brunch or weekend whole grain breakfast. Okay, so what we're looking at today is what is the best breakfast for menopause. We've just delved into whole grain, and I've given you 3 different recipes there. The next thing I'm going to look at is protein. So it's another key nutrient. It can help build our muscles and help with muscle maintenance and repair. And that is one of the big changes that a lot of people will notice as they age and as they go through menopause, is that they will lose some muscle mass. So it's very important to try and do some type of resistance training, which can be with your own body weight. It can be walking, it can be doing squats, or it can be going to the gym and doing a full resistance class. There's a number of different options, and it's whatever works for you. But protein is a nutrient we need for that. So Greek yogurt is an excellent source of protein. And that then, I always ask, how can you add more nutrients? So that can be improved by adding, say, some nuts and some berries. They're going to help increase the nutrients that you have in it, and it'll also help increase the protein. So the berries have the antioxidants, which can help reduce inflammation in the body, and the nuts are providing healthy fats that can help support the brain health and reduce the risk of heart disease. Or you could add the chia berry compote, which I'd mentioned on the previous post. So that's an example of where the protein. One of the other really good sources of protein might be eggs. So it's a good source of protein and healthy fats. And it could be paired with things like spinach or a whole wheat toast to give you a really satisfying breakfast. The spinach is rich in vitamins and minerals, can support overall health. And the whole wheat toast provides a fiber and the complex carbohydrates that can help regulate our blood sugars. One of the recipes I have there is omelette three ways. So this came from, I suppose my experience growing up is that I didn't like eating eggs, and I still don't like the flavor or the texture of eggs. But I know they are so good for me, a really good source of protein. Years ago, the guidelines were to reduce the amount of eggs, whereas now 2 to 3 eggs a day isn't a problem. And we are aiming for about 25 grams of protein per meal per day. So I would tend to make a 3-egg omelette to achieve that in one meal. Or you might have 2 eggs and you might add something else to it to help increase the protein. So I have a recipe on my website and YouTube channel about omelette three ways. So just giving you different variations so that you can mix things up. And I created those because I actually don't like the flavor, as I say, or the texture of the egg. So I will add in things like a bit of cheese, or I might add in a little bit of black pudding or fresh herbs or wilted spinach or mushrooms. So I would always add in these ingredients. They will give your omelette lots of flavor, make it more interesting, but they will also add more nutrient. And they can be cooked so quickly. And I will always go for the organic eggs. The next one you might do is poached eggs. So not my preference, but a poached egg can be really good. So this is where you would cook an egg out of its shell in some water. And I have a video on how to do that easily, where you would kind of create a swirl. You'd have a tiny bit of vinegar in it, and you would very gently drop the egg into it. And then you could serve those on a bit of brown bread or a whole grain toast. Or sometimes it can just be really good to add a poached egg on top of a salad. So, but of course, we're talking about the breakfast today. So they will be some examples of focusing really on the protein. So if you prefer a lighter breakfast, or perhaps you're short on time, a smoothie could be a great option. Now, I love adding the milk kefir, which I'd mentioned earlier on, contains probiotics and healthy fats. But I like to look at adding 5 different portions of fruit and vegetables to my smoothie. But the first thing I do is I will add a minimum of 2 vegetable portions. I find it can be very easy to fall into the trap of adding lots of fruit to your smoothie. And that can just help increase your blood sugars, which is our goal is to try and keep our blood sugars as stable as possible. So you want to avoid adding too much fruit. So I always make sure that I will add a minimum of 2 portions of vegetables. So the vegetables I would tend to add would be cucumber, spinach, lettuce, kale. Those type of vegetables I find work very well in the smoothie. I know I'm getting lots of different nutrients, and I find they're not too strong in a smoothie, because sometimes the vegetables can be quite strong. And then I will add in some berries for antioxidants, or I might add in some apple or banana, etc. But if you could have 5 portions of fruit and veg in your breakfast, that would be fantastic. The one thing you need to think of, and it's very important, is what protein are you going to add? Adding a protein powder is one option. However, you could add things like nuts. So you could put in a tablespoon of a pure nut butter. You could consider the protein that will be in the milk, kefir, or the yogurt. Or you could add in some cooked edamame beans. So not only are they a really good source of phytoestrogens, they're also going to contain some protein, and they make a beautiful thick smoothie. So it doesn't have to be a protein powder, but it is important to ensure that you are getting sufficient protein with your breakfast. So how to make the different smoothies is one of the things that I go through on my 6-week menopause cooking course, but at least we have some different options there that you can go to in terms of breakfast. So it's really looking at our whole grains and our protein, but also trying to make sure that it's a way that is easy for you. What's going to work in with your schedule so that it's not putting you under pressure, something that you can grab and go, or perhaps you have the time to, you know, sit down and enjoy the breakfast. In addition to considering specific foods, menopausal women may also want to pay attention to their overall dietary pattern. So the Mediterranean diet that emphasizes fruit, vegetables, whole grains, lean proteins, and healthy fats like olive oil and nuts. That's shown to be particularly beneficial for women going through menopause. That way of eating is it's rich in nutrients. It can help reduce inflammation, support the brain health, and reduce the risk of chronic diseases like heart disease and diabetes. So in addition to paying attention to the diet, the menopausal woman may also consider other lifestyle factors that can impact their overall health and well-being. As I mentioned earlier, exercise is particularly important during this time and can help with weight management, reduce the risk of chronic disease, but most of all, improve mood and sleep. Stress management techniques like meditation or deep breathing can also be helpful for reducing the severity of menopausal symptoms. And honestly, I've really only discovered and fully practiced in meditation and things like this over the last 18 months, and I have found it very beneficial. So it is worth noting that menopause is a highly individual experience. What works for one woman may not work for another. It's important to pay attention to your own body and make the choices that support your overall health and well-being. So if you're experiencing severe or persistent symptoms, it's a good idea to speak with your healthcare provider to discuss potential treatment options. But I firmly believe with the right combination of diet, exercise, and lifestyle changes, many women find they can successfully manage the symptoms associated with menopause and enjoy a healthy and vibrant life. So I hope you have enjoyed today's podcast, and that I'll pop some links in the show notes below, but hopefully I have given you some ideas for the best breakfast to help you in menopause. So thank you so much for listening today, and I would really appreciate if you could rate, review, and share my podcast, because it helps other people find me. Thanks for listening.